You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance.
Michelle Smallman in, CeCe out, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. You have a good last hour?
I did.
Just relaxing?
I shot some social media content for Unsportsmanlike.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Look forward to seeing that at Unsports ESPN on social media there. All right. NFL free agency day today. Legal tampering period begins at noon Eastern. The number one thing we have seen thus far, Russell Wilson going from Denver to Pittsburgh. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, of course, former quarterback, had this to say on Get Up about Russ and the Steelers.
They now have a chance in that division, and that's in a significantly better place than they were going into yesterday, okay? So if we want to talk about who Russell Wilson is right now in comparison to Kenny Pickett, it's not that close. Wow. And if Russell Wilson plays next year the way he did last year, and I would say in a better situation with better talent around him, this is going to be a team that's going to push those leaders in that division.
Smalls, I agree with what Orlovsky said. CeCe's been saying it. I love the fact that people are coming around to the idea that, okay, Russell Wilson just has to be similar to what it was a year ago, mm-hmm. and put him in Pittsburgh, and it is a great move for everybody involved. I know you have not been as high on this as I am. Explain why.
Well, it still feels like there's gray area at the quarterback position in Pittsburgh. Yes, Russell Wilson is an upgrade from what they had last year if he performs the same way that he did his second year in Denver. However, this is a one-year deal. You still don't know if Russell Wilson is A, going to beat out Kenny Pickett for the job, B, how he's going to perform there, and it doesn't really feel like either one of them is the quarterback of the future. So even though it feels like it's a Band-Aid for now, it's not a solution. So if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I have a hard time getting really excited about this move because you still need to find your franchise quarterback.
But what's the alternative?
I get that the price was right for Russell Wilson. For the production that you hope to get from him and the price, it's a no-brainer for the Steelers to make this move and then potentially maybe draft another guy to be a third body in that quarterback room. Maybe you do draft the guy who's going to be the future, and Russell Wilson and or Kenny Pickett can be that bridge until then. But for the Steelers, I just know that their fan base has such high expectations for the franchise, and it starts with the quarterback.
Okay, so let's go through a round of would you have, all right? If you were the Steelers, would you have figured out a way, and it would have been virtually impossible because you would have to clear out half your roster, but would you have tried to figure out a way of bringing in Kirk Cousins, who appears headed to Atlanta?
That would have been my first option. I don't know if financially we could have make it work, but I still would say from a skill set position, from a production position, he's our best option. And if I have exhausted all routes that we could pay him, let's move on to the next. But certainly I would have looked into it.
Would you have gone after Justin Fields, which would have cost you a draft pick and cost you more money than Russell Wilson?
That one's intriguing to me because you have seen flashes of incredible athleticism from Justin Fields. You know that the circumstances surrounding him in Chicago were not ideal for his development. And I think given a stable environment in Pittsburgh with Mike Tomlin, you would hope that he would be the coach that could extract the best out of him and that maybe he could be the player, be the quarterback that everyone expected him to be when he first got to Chicago. That one is intriguing to me, but I understand the financials and why you'd rather take a flyer on somebody like Russell Wilson, who's a cheaper option.
I don't know that there is another option.
No, those are the two for me.
Right, those would be the two that you could say over Russell Wilson, unless I am forgetting someone. I mean, I don't think Mac Jones probably excites you at that point if you're, you know, by way of trade, right?
No.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah, I mean, I think that's
no.
Right. So those are the options in that scenario. And I still think it was the best one. And I am amazed. I am truly amazed that we got to such a point with Russell Wilson, who had 26 touchdowns and 8 interceptions for the Denver Broncos, and they were one game under 500 in the 15 that he started at 7 and 8. Excuse me. I'm amazed we got to this point where countless people sitting at the desk that we are sitting at right now thought, hey, Russ may be here with us next year. And maybe there's still a chance of that in some people's eyes, but like that's where people went. Our buddy Mike Tannenbaum literally said, hey, the best option may be to back up Aaron Rodgers. Like, Aaron, that's, to me, I couldn't believe that when we were having these conversations. And I get the personality. He's different than maybe his peers. He operates in a different way or operated in a different way. I think last year he proved to be pretty coachable. I mean, Sean Payton seemingly would tell him off all the time on the sidelines. He did everything the Broncos asked him to do. And right now, in this situation he's in, with a great head coach in Mike Tomlin, a coach who I'm sure is going to hold him accountable to whatever it is that the Steelers want to do in the Steelers' way, I love this for all parties involved.
True, but Sean Payton is an incredibly strong offensive mind that didn't want him around. Denver's paying $39 million to not have Russell Wilson in the building, and they still have a question at quarterback.
So let's discuss that, because are we sure that that's going to end up being a good thing for Sean Payton, their head coach? Are we sure that they are going to get better quarterback play this year from whoever it may be? Like, they may be one of the forgotten teams in terms of the quarterback, right? Jared Stidham is there as their quarterback that they benched Russell Wilson for, which really not for him as much as for the money of not having to pay Russell Wilson if, God forbid, he got hurt. They're sitting at the 12th pick. A lot of people think a lot of the great quarterbacks will be gone by them then. Excuse me. That we have a big three. We also now have J.J. McCarthy in the mix from Michigan, who's closing in on that number three spot. Is number four. Are they going to reach and take Bo Nix there from Oregon? Are they going to take Michael Penix Jr. there from Washington? I mean, are we sure that Sean Payton's going to end up looking good at it? Like, what happens if Russell Wilson's really good this year for Pittsburgh? How does Sean Payton look with all this?
Probably not great. But think about the fact that Sean Payton is willing to take that chance. That this is somebody who's won a Super Bowl, who's had an incredibly productive quarterback in Drew Brees, who knows what great quarterback play looks like.
So you mean like Mike Tomlin, who's won a Super Bowl, had incredibly productive quarterback play with Ben Roethlisberger. The difference is one guy would have to pay him 39, the other guy would have to pay him 1.2. And I know that's been your theme from the get-go. It would be interesting if roles were reversed. If they could get Russell Wilson for 1.2 in Denver, would they take him?
Let me tell you, Evan, I love to shop. And there are some things that when they're on sale, I'm willing to buy that I might not normally go for. Oh, this is 70% off? Okay, I'll try to wear green, which is not normally my color. I'll take a flyer on green because it's 70% off at
Wait,
Chanel.
You're anti-
No, I'm just using that as an example. No, green is not really my color. I don't really wear green.
Great show to say that on.
Well, greeny, yeah, I know. But anyway, I'm saying like you make purchasing decisions that you wouldn't normally make sometimes based on the price. But it says something to me that Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos were so done with Russell Wilson that they are willing to start over, which is essentially a coin flip if you're going to draft a quarterback. You do not know how this is going to turn out. It could be great or it could be terrible. We see it all the time. You're going to have a coin flip and potentially draft a quarterback and start over and pay $39 million just so you do not have to have this guy in your building.
Everything you're saying is fair. I just think that there's going to be another side of this conversation, right? I think there are two teams that I'm looking at right now that are going to be very similar moving forward in terms of how we're going to some, it's how we're going to look at them. Denver and Minnesota. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins is likely going to walk out that door very soon, and he's going to go to Atlanta, and we don't know what they're going to do at quarterback, and we want to understand what the rest of the roster is and what their decision-making is. I also want to understand Denver's decision-making. Are they just assuming they're going to get a quarterback here in the draft, and that quarterback is going to work out? Are they going to potentially tank-ish and just start trading off pieces? Do they think Jared Stidham in a third stop, New England Raiders and now with the Broncos, that he's just going to pop all of a sudden? Like, Sean Payton took a lot of money to be the coach of the Denver Broncos and deserved a lot of money because of his success in New Orleans. Do we know what they're doing? Do you have any faith in them in that division where Patrick Mahomes is and now Harbaugh and Herbert are there together and the Raiders believe in their head coach? We know that. Like, at some point, we are going to have to see what Denver is actually doing. That is the part of this conversation that none of us seem to be having here.
No, and it is a big question mark. They have a lot that they need to sort out in Denver, and you're right. In that division, you don't really have a lot of runway to figure it out because of the competition in the division. But we are assuming that Sean Payton is going to have a plan that may or may not work out. But what about if Russ doesn't work out in Pittsburgh? How does that change the narrative surrounding it? Or is it just confirmation bias of what a lot of people like me think that he is at this point in his career? What if he doesn't beat out Kenny Pickett? What if the personality is not a fit in Pittsburgh? And then it's been Pete Carroll, Sean Payton, and Mike Tomlin that can't make it work with him. What does that say about Russ then?
At that point, those at this set that said he would be done would be right. Not at this point.
Right. He has a massive opportunity in front of him.
What you just said allows for that conversation to be had. Is he a backup? Is he in TV? Is he out of the game altogether? That part of this, you would be right. If all of those things happen, but he still has an amazing opportunity. Because Smalls, what drove me nuts with all of this is people did not think the opportunity that he was given yesterday was one he would have. And not only did he get it, he seemingly was being talked to by three different teams, Pittsburgh, New York, and the Giants, and Las Vegas. Okay? And in this scenario, what he proved is he's still got something left, at least in terms of warranting an opportunity. And if he does not succeed with that opportunity, and he becomes the quarterback that for the first time in Mike Tomlin's career, he has a losing record with that guy at quarterback, then you're right. He's done. Adam Schefter was on NFL Live on ESPN and had this to say about Sean Payton's plan at quarterback in Denver.
I don't know that Sean Payton would be of the mind to want to move up in the draft. I think Sean Payton believes in his abilities to analyze quarterbacks and to find and identify a quarterback that he believes will fit in Denver and have the chance to grow to become the type of starter that he's looking for in Denver. And let's also start out with the fact that I think that he likes Jarrett Stidham an awful lot. And he gave Stidham a 2-year contract last year. So they have Stidham under a very starter-friendly price tag. And I believe that he thinks that he will find the right solution to succeed Russell Wilson in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy that get the most out of Russell Wilson in his mind. He knew he was walking into that. That didn't happen. Now, he's probably going to blame Russell Wilson for that. That's fine. We know that previously Nathaniel Hackett was a disaster there.
Yes.
Now Shefty, you know, is talking about Russell Wilson gone and the possibility of Jarrett Stidham and a rookie quarterback. At some point, the Denver Broncos are going to look at that situation and say, okay, we're paying you an insane amount of money. You've got to produce something here. And right now that they have produced nothing with, and I understand it's been 1 year.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to build something.
But I don't know. I don't necessarily have hopes for them right now. I have way more hopes for Pittsburgh than I do for Denver.
Well, they are in a better position holistically as a team than Denver was. Sean Payton's got to roll up his sleeves. He's got a lot of work to do to put that team and that quarterback, whoever it ends up being, Jared Stidham or TBD, to the position where he needs them to be. Pittsburgh is in a much better spot. They just feel like they're a quarterback away.
Well, now the dominoes have started to fall, right? Russell Wilson's going to be in Pittsburgh. We're assuming that Kirk Cousins is going to end up in Atlanta. Baker Mayfield back in Tampa. The market for Justin Fields is non-existent, it seems like.
Yeah, we thought that he...
By the way, if this is going on TV, we've become Smurfs. I don't know if this is just this TV, but on one specific TV, Smalls and I are blue.
We look like Avatar.
This has happened before.
Yeah, this is amazing. I actually love this.
Is this just on these TVs
I don't know.
In the studio?
Yeah, it's just you guys.
Oh, I was so hoping it was
on
the ESPN
app. We look like Avatar.
App.
I was like, is this the James Cameron edit? What's going on here?
I wanted this to be on the ESPN app where then people could take screenshots of us as Smurfs. I look better as a Smurf than I do as a person. I
will say I look terrible. I look like a corpse.
You don't like your Smurf look?
I look like a corpse. You look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, blue's your color.
Like my skin color, though. Not my
I don't think that's what people mean when they say blue's your color.
I don't know. Maybe it's because my hair is blonde. It's not blending well with me. But Evan, with the darkness of your hair, it's a little nice contrast here. I'm not going
to
lie.
Smalls now. Oh, no. We're back to normal.
No, not on my TV over here.
I have finally found a look that works for me. The Smurf look. Finally, after 43 years, I have a look that works.
Does Brandon think you look 50 as a Smurf?
Brandon, how old do I look as a Smurf?
49.
I'm 1 year younger per Brandon as a Smurf.
All right.
I've gotten younger.
How about Steelers country? Let's iron work.
Bubba's doing like...
I've been thinking about that too, Bubba.
Stand-up sets the whole day. He's just trying out lines.
Well, at first, I was thinking about what could rhyme with ride, and I couldn't come up with anything.
Hide?
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Steelers, though.
Steelers country, let's hide?
I don't know. You said rhyme. Rhymes with hide.
Well, I thought it was implied that she meant it had to be Steelers related.
Implied. Kind of rhymes with ride, I guess.
Yeah, we didn't mean any word. We know there are words that rhyme with ride.
I need to look more into steel.
Steelers country, let's mill.
Let's mill?
We've got mill, manufacture, smelt, ironwork. Weld is a good one.
Let's weld?
Yeah, Steelers Nation, let's weld.
Let's weld.
Doesn't sound as good as let's ride.
No, it really doesn't. Broncos country, let's ride. The first time I ever hosted a show with Chris Canty, we were talking about the Broncos. And I said, Broncos country, let's ride. And he goes, where the hell are we going? Where are we going, Russ?
Sounds like we're going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, exactly. Riding off to Pittsburgh. Oh, no, I'm seeing on the ESPN app, people are tweeting in screenshots. We do not look blue, unfortunately.
Oh, man.
For me, at least.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, one of Russell Wilson's former teammates tells us how his tenure in Pittsburgh will go. That's after this word from ESPN Bet, which is now live as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Find all of your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Greeny, the podcast.
Russell Wilson signing with the Steelers.
Russell Wilson doesn't go anywhere that he doesn't think that he isn't going to be the starter. Now, he's going to have to go and earn it.
Don't be surprised if you see Russell Wilson out there cooking and saying, Steelers fans, let's ride.
Along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen, in for Greeny today. Normally you hear us, and Hembo, by the way, who's at the, I think he's still at the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Nice.
He's been there for like a month. Normally, you hear us with Chris Canty, 6 to 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time here on ESPN Radio with Unsportsmanlike. News of the day, certainly, as we are closing in on the legal tampering period. Oh, we have some more news here. It looks as if
Let me get that confirmed, actually. There could be a wide receiver signing. I don't want to do this yet. There's a big tease because I want to make sure we have this confirmed before I do it. Anyway, so news of the day is certainly Russell Wilson going to the Pittsburgh Steelers on a one-year, $1.2 million deal. And joining us now to talk more about it, one of his former teammates. He currently works for SiriusXM NFL Radio. It is Robert Turbin, former running back with the Seattle Seahawks, amongst other teams. And he joins us here on Greeny. Robert, your initial reaction when you heard about your former teammate Russ joining the Pittsburgh Steelers was what?
I was happy for him. Yeah, I thought it was a good choice. I was fortunate to be able to go to Denver during the season, sit down with Russ when we knew that, this relationship between him and Denver was essentially coming to an end. And so, you know, he got a jump start on what teams could potentially, I guess, be interested in him. Once this free agency period started, Pittsburgh was one of those teams, and I'm happy he actually took my advice for once in his life. Pittsburgh was the number one team that I suggested he go to, and turns out he listened to me for once.
I love that, Robert. Great advice. Well, you said you visited Russ when he was in Denver. As you look back now on that situation, why do you think it didn't work out between Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos?
Well, I just think that, a couple of things. I thought from a coaching standpoint, I think Sean Payton kind of came in with the mentality of, he'd have a certain amount of success over his coaching career. And I think he held himself really in high regard, and I don't know if he quite did the same thing amongst his players. Certainly, with Russ, I think that a lot of things was based off what he'd done the year prior. What wasn't like he got this fresh start with Sean. So, I don't know. When you come into a situation and you don't really believe in a guy from the jump, it's hard to kind of get something going. And then Russ made some of his own mistakes as well. I thought his approach when he first got to Denver, could have been adjusted, could have been done a little bit differently, and perhaps that would have equaled out to a little bit more success. But it was a learning curve, I think, for both guys. Both guys are obviously, you got Sean Payton, who's a great coach, and Russ has had a great career as a player. So they both get to reboot the system a little bit in their own right. And, hopefully it works out well for both sides.
Robert, I want to make sure we're understanding this properly here. So when you're saying Sean Payton, you think, made an assessment on Russ based on what he had heard about him from the year before and almost went in as with a negative approach instead of a empty all of a sudden, like just flatline, like, hey, glass half full, glass half empty, doesn't matter, just right in the middle?
That's how I see it. That's how I see it, yep.
And then when you said Russ could have done things differently to start, like what?
Well, I think Russ, when he first got to Denver, obviously – wanted to go to a place where, he thought he could win. But I think we all know that quarterbacks in this league could sort of, similar to the way I said about Sean Payton seeing himself in such high regard, quarterbacks can do that too. And I think that sometimes you miss the mark and, you forget about, some of the ways that got you where you are. And a lot of times when you do that, that's when you start to slip a little bit. And I think that Russ's approach just could have been slightly better there as far as, I think humility is a huge word to use here in this situation for both guys. Not saying that they weren't humble, but you could see that slip a little bit. And I just thought his approach could have been better there.
Robert, when we talk about Russell Wilson, we talk about the player, we talk about the personality, and we talk about the teammate. Your perspective is obviously incredibly valuable to us because we haven't been in a locker room with Russell Wilson. So tell us, who is Russell Wilson, the teammate, and what is something that we may not know about him?
Well, he's a great teammate. He's about the players first. Yeah, I think one of the reasons why he wanted to get this deal done so quickly, this free agency, was so that he can link up with his teammates, his wide receivers, his running backs. He wants to get to know the guys that he's going to be playing with. He wants to invite them out to the house and throw and practice and run routes and things of that nature. That's always been Russ. You know, our days in Seattle in the off season, he used to, you know, get the offense together down in Hermosa Beach, which is in the L.A. area. And, you know, and this was before he got his big deal, you know, and he would find a way to take care of our flights and our lodging and things of that nature. And, you know, first time I ever got to see Kobe live was because of Russ. You know, a lot of us were in that same position. We went to the Laker game 2 years in a row. We did that down in Hermosa Beach. And the only two times I ever saw Kobe play live was because of Russ. You know, he got the tickets for the L.A. Lakers games for all of us on the offense, at least the guys who decided to come. And then he says, you know what? I think this was 2015. He says, you know, Hermosa Beach, we've been there, done that. Let's go to Hawaii. And he takes the offense all the way down to Hawaii, you know, just to run routes and practice, but also so that we can continue to build those relationships and that camaraderie amongst each other. And, you know, those are things behind the scenes about Russ that a lot of folks don't know about. And so, you know, I didn't get to go to Hawaii because I was no longer a part of the team at that time. But, you know, those are things that he did, and that's part of the reasons what made him such a great quarterback over the course of his career.
Talk with Robert Turbin, former NFL running back, SiriusXM NFL Radio, joining us here to talk about his former teammate, Russell Wilson, as well as some other things around the league here. I just want to add on to one thing there. You said that story was awesome and so many positives about Russ. How come more people don't tell that type of story about him? I mean, I'm somebody that is a fan of his. I went to Wisconsin. I started liking him when he was there. But, like, you don't hear many positive stories like that about him. Why?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. And I ponder about that, too. And you just have to be careful about what you think might be the reason for that. You know, sometimes you have players who wish that they were in the position that you're in. And because they're not, they may, you know, have this element of jealousy or envy. And I don't like to use those words because they're pretty strong. Where I come from, we call that hating on somebody else. You know, it's interesting because you hear all of these other stories per se, but not the ones, you know, not the ones that are, you know, that are positive. And we've heard players say, oh, well, you know, I never hung out with Russ, you know, outside of the locker room and things of that nature. Well, I'm here to tell you guys that, you know, a lot of guys have been invited to things and decided not to show up. They decided not to go, okay? And is that Russ's fault that, you know, you got the invite and didn't want to go even though you're a part of the team? That's not on him, all right? That's on me. But you can't come back and say then, you know, he doesn't want to be, you know, a part of the group as far as a friendship and things of that nature is concerned, you know, off the field. And quarterbacks are different. We all know this, you know. You're not going to catch Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers or any of the top quarterbacks, you know, doing the things off of the field as far as having a good time as you see other guys at other positions do. Their responsibilities are different. They're like an extension of the head coach. Head coach not going to come hang out with you either. And so, yeah, I've always pondered about that as well. It's a good question. And I'm not saying Russ is perfect, you know. I even said, you know, listen, his approach, I think, in Denver in the beginning could have been different. I'm not afraid to hold somebody that I hold in high regard also accountable to his personality because I know him. I'm not afraid to do that. But at the same time, I know deep down he's one of the best teammates. He's one of the best teammates out there.
Great perspective on your former teammate, Russell Wilson, Robert, but I also want to get your perspective on your position, the running back position. We have a lot of big name free agent running backs out there. What's your perspective on where the running back position is in the NFL right now?
Well, it's, you know, it's still sort of held in low regard. You know, we'll call it that after talking about a couple people and a couple positions that are held in high regard. The running back position certainly is the opposite of that. And, you know, it's interesting to have so many not just talented running backs on the market right now, but you know, we're talking about top guys, you know, in the NFL, game changers for your team if put into the right situation, you know, sort of unknowingly in this position about where they're going to play. And then the other part too is they're going to get paid their worth in this free agency. And that's going to be the tough part for a lot of guys. They're going to have a tough pill to swallow, I think, a lot of these guys, as it pertains to, you know, what they feel like their worth is, their market is, and what they bring to the table for a franchise. And so I'm excited to see where these guys go because they're so good. They're such good players. But on the flip, it's like, man, you wonder what those contracts are going to look like and if they're going to be satisfied with what teams are offering.
Robert Turbin, former Super Bowl champ, running back, Seattle Seahawks, amongst other teams, NFL radio right now on SiriusXM, Channel 88. We appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Some very interesting insight there on Russ because you never hear that side of it, right? Like, it seems like everyone enjoys putting out the negativity about Russ. My guess, Smalls, is what we just heard from Robert Turbin was communicated to Mike Tomlin in a way, whether it be by Russ or people around Russ, in a way that is selling Tomlin on why, okay, this guy can be our quarterback at least for a year.
There was so much valuable insight from Robert Turbin there on Russell Wilson, the player, the teammate, the person. And one thing that I took away, not only from the positive stories that he shared, was that he felt like he lost his way in Denver, especially that first year. And maybe he recognizes that and has the self-awareness to say, what I did there wasn't the way that I need to approach things moving forward, and that he'll go to Pittsburgh as more of the player and the person that Robert Turbin just described rather than what we saw that first year in Denver.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen in for Greeny today. A couple of things happened while we were talking to Robert Turbin. Number one, seems like all things pointing in the direction of Michael Pittman, wide receiver, going back to Indy when the tampering period begins in 20 minutes, him re-signing there, working on all kinds of confirmation there, but that's where the direction is pointing at Pittman coming back. Also, Aaron Boone, manager of the Yankees, has announced that Gerrit Cole is going to have an MRI on his elbow.
Oh, no.
MRI on his elbow. I'm just reading here off of some of the reports that I see. Jack Curry, Yes Network, has some of this now. I'm just trying to get more of the information here about Gerrit Cole. Obviously, the Yankees have been mentioned with Blake Snell, pitcher, of course, who was unsigned. Jordan Montgomery, who was there, who was traded for Harrison Bader to the Cardinals.
And they loved him there in New York.
So MRI right elbow. Obviously, that does not mean anything other than it's an MRI, but there's enough of a reason, Smalls, you've covered baseball forever, that when a starting pitcher has an MRI on his elbow, that is going to scare the living daylights out of their fan base.
That's the last thing you want to hear, is that a player of the caliber of Gerrit Cole, a pitcher of that caliber, is having an MRI on his elbow, especially at this point in the season.
Yeah.
That's, fingers crossed that it's precautionary and that this is not a major thing and that he'll be able to recover quickly, whatever it may be. But to have that sort of an announcement now, I'm sure a lot of Yankees fans are holding their breath, Evan.
Yes, so we will keep you updated on all of that. But no Hembo today, no Greeny today, which means Smalls. And by the way, I want to take you behind the scenes, ladies and gentlemen, and Michelle Smallman. I discussed with just us talking, Cam and Bubba, when we're going to do trivia.
Yeah.
And Cam said specifically, let's wait till Smalls is here because she hates it so much.
Cam!
No, I didn't say that. That wasn't me that said that.
How dare you, Cam?
I've always heard that it's your favorite part of the show.
Really? Because every time I filled in, you know how I tell you how much I hate it because I'm terrible at trivia?
Yeah. Canty Evan specifically said, oh, are we doing trivia this segment? I was like, no, let's wait an hour.
So we have
Michelle
you,
wants to be in here.
And you want to be a part of it. So sneaky Cam trivia, what is the question, Cam?
So South Carolina wraps up an undefeated season once again. They have now 2 years in a row headed into the NCAA tournament with an undefeated record. Obviously, they lost in the Final Four last year. Who is the last men's basketball team to head into the NCAA tournament with an undefeated record? You don't have to give me the year. Just give me the school.
Oh, is it? I don't know it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll find out how easy it is on the other side.
I guess that's true. I said so easy. Watch. I get it wrong.
He said the last one, right?
Wait a minute. It's not so easy.
I may be wrong now. All right, I don't know.
This don't overthink
good.
It.
Too late. All right, so we'll get the answer to that question next. But first, a word from Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com today, or just stop by with Grainger. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Greeny, the podcast.
It is Greeny here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and coming to you live, along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen, from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. All right, we got sneaky cam trivia today. On a day, by the way, where we're learning, per Jeff Passan, ESPN baseball reporter and insider, Yankees ace Gerrit Cole will have an MRI in his right elbow. Manager Aaron Boone told reporters today Cole is coming off of winning the American League Cy Young Award and has had difficulty bouncing back between spring training starts, Boone said. So definitely something to keep an eye on, as well as legal tampering period beginning at noon Eastern in the NFL. Russell Wilson, of course, a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Cam, what is the sneaky cam trivia today with
yes,
the
Rambo? Michelle's favorite part of the show, and a question Evan has deemed as the easiest trivia question of all time.
We are looking
for the last men's basketball team. You just have to give me the school, don't have to give me the year, to enter the NCAA tournament with an undefeated record.
All right, I said it was easy because I had one in mind, but now I have been second and third guessing myself nonstop because there could have been like a smaller mid-major type that goes in undefeated. But I'm going Kentucky. I want to say, you didn't say the year, but I'm going to think it was 2015 or 14 when they lost to Wisconsin, my school.
Michelle?
Okay, so there's obviously a lot of smart options that you could go here. You could go Kentucky, a Duke, a North Carolina, a Tom Izzo, Michigan State team. Unfortunately, it's not my Illinois Fighting Illini because they lost a buzzer beater to Ohio State to end the regular season. I want to say a team that has won recently, like a Virginia or a Gonzaga.
Well, Gonzaga has not won, but Virginia did.
But you know what I mean? A team that was like right there. I'm going to go Virginia, but it's either Virginia or Gonzaga for me.
Bubba?
Yeah, the first team that I thought of was Kentucky, so I think I was thinking on the same wavelength as Evan. But then I remembered, I'm pretty sure, to Evan's point, a mid-major did it, and I'm pretty confident that was Wichita State. And I'm going to go with the Shockers.
Those sneaky Shockers.
Okay, so we have a Wichita State, we have a Kentucky, we have a Virginia, and Brandon, the stage manager, has texted me Gonzaga. So we have four different answers. One of them is right.
Now I feel like I should have gone Gonzaga.
The correct answer is Gonzaga. in 2020, 2021.
Wow.
They entered the tournament undefeated. They had the buzzer beater win in the Final Four with Jalen Suggs and then lost to Baylor in the final. Kentucky was undefeated in 2015. Wichita State was undefeated in 2014. So close all across the board, but Brandon gets it right with
Gonzaga. Well, so every single person got it right, kind of, except for Smalls.
You didn't have to say that.
Who gave two schools?
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying that Bubba and I actually were correct.
Yeah, you had the previous two before Gonzaga.
Was that the Wichita State team in 14? Was that the Fred Van Vliet, Ron Baker, Cle Anthony early team?
It might have been, yeah.
Right? That was Wichita. Am I right about that? Was that Wichita State or am I getting that?
Yeah, they were on Wichita State for sure.
Yeah. Not my expertise, but that sounds right. Wichita State lost in the second round that year, and obviously Kentucky lost in the Final Four. Gonzaga lost in the championship.
Oh, Gonzaga.
Good job, Brandon.
I knew it.
So was that the 13-14? That was the 13-14 Wichita State team, right?
That's
I'm just
correct,
looking
yes.
this up right now.
And
now
Kentucky was 15. Gonzaga was 2020, 2021 in the bubble.
That was Cle Anthony early, Ron Baker, Fred VanVleet. That was that team.
Oh, bubble. Throw it out. Doesn't count.
Totally.
Mickey Very Mouse championship.
Very frustrating. I've got to be honest with you.
I was right there. I can't believe this is the closest I've ever been.
You did say the actual correct answer.
I know.
Luckily for you, you didn't say this was the easiest trivia question of all time, like Evan did.
And then get it wrong.
I said I regretted that. Yeah. I was a terrible
You did
job
regret it immediately, but you
no, I
it did come
it.
Out of your mouth.
Yeah.
I
bad
think
job.
The success rate confident. Of any person saying that, and it's predominantly Greeny, the success rate of someone saying this is the easiest question where I definitely have this correct is like 7%.
Greeny also sometimes when we'll say our guest says something like, well, that's a terrible guess, and then it ends up being right. So don't show any cockiness before giving the answer to trivia. It never
too
pays
late
off.
On that one. By the way, I think it's pretty safe to say that Michael Pittman is re-signing with the Colts. They have tweeted out a picture of him.
Oh, great.
All right, what's their source, though?
That is true. You know what? You just actually unintentionally hit on something that is fascinating. Teams like to separate themselves from their social media managers if something goes wrong. Right, saying, hey, it's two different things. It's two different parties. In this specific case, can the Colts now not do that? Because they just tweeted out the picture of their wide receiver, so there really is no separation between church and state here.
Is there any text in the tweet?
No, it's literally just a photo. I'm just looking at it now. It is literally just a photo of Pittman Jr., the wide
receiver.
Teams
do this all the time,
though. He's smiling, too, in the photo.
I do this all the time?
No, teams do.
Oh. Yeah, I get it, but like, there's always the separation. Like, oh, that's not because they basically want the separation for when the inevitable happens of somebody tweeting something dumb from the team account, right? Like, that's obviously. And today we're gonna have a lot of false accounts that are gonna be out there tweeting about things because of the fact that obviously we're gonna have all the signings today and the legal tampering period. And we saw some things over the weekend, including trades with New England trading Mac Jones to Jacksonville for a 6th-round pick, which really kind of takes us to that 2021 free agency class. I'm sorry, draft class at the quarterback position in the 1st round, Smalls.
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence, I think, is awesome, but it hasn't been as awesome as I thought he was going to be to date. Zach Wilson has been a disaster. Number 2 overall is going to get traded by the Jets or maybe even released. Trey Lance, number 3 overall. The Niners traded up a ton to get him. They've already traded him to Dallas. Justin Fields is going to get traded, but there seems to be no market for him. You've now thrown out the idea maybe of Minnesota if Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta. And then obviously we have Mac Jones with New England, who's now on Jacksonville. I mean, that's a brutal 1st-round class.
It is such a coin flip at the quarterback position in the draft. Circumstances matter a lot. But gosh, so many of these guys with promise coming out of college just will never pan out in the NFL. It's crazy.
If I said to you right now, outside of, you take Trevor Lawrence out, you had to have one of the guys in the 2021 first round for the next 3 years, who are you taking?
Out of Mac Jones, Justin Fields, and Trey Lance?
Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Zach Wilson.
I'm going to take Justin Fields.
Trey Lance, Cowboys legend.
The Cowboys legend, you're going to go with him, Bubba. At least with Justin Fields, I still think that there's potential and upside there that hasn't been met. Whereas with Trey Lance, that is such a question mark. Zach Wilson and Mac Jones feel broken to me at this point. I hope that they're able to find their way again, but I don't know where or how they'll find that path. Whereas at least with Justin Fields, whatever happens with him in the coming days, it feels like he's going to land somewhere and have the opportunity to maybe start still in the NFL.
Bubba, I know you're kind of half joking about that as a Cowboys fan, but let me follow up with what you just said. Is there any part of you that actually thinks the unknown with Trey Lance is better than the known with the rest of these guys, considering how awful the known actually is?
To a degree, yes. I mean, there's obviously, I mean, Lance has shown some flashes of positivity. So I do think there's something there. And obviously there's a reason he was picked that high. So, I feel like the fact that he's just now just sitting on the bench, I feel like, and not even as a backup, he's a third string. So I think it is just kind of that unknown that you kind of, it's a fascinating case study with him right now. Probably never going to play with Dallas, but
fact that Shanahan got rid of him so quickly after trading up so much to get him, though, is concerning. Like, that's almost more of a known than his play on the field. The fact that Shanahan didn't think he could get anything out of him, and obviously Purdy and Darnold were both ahead of him, but that's a huge indictment on him.
Shanahan's been amazing at quarterback development. He hasn't been great at quarterback evaluation, though.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean,
so,
if you think about it, like, here's the thing. Brock Purdy should be held for him in one case and against him in another case. For him in QB development, but if you knew he was going to be that good, you don't wait till the last pick in the draft to draft him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? New England has said a million times, like, hey, don't give us that much credit on drafting Brady. We also passed on him five times.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, there's the other side of that, obviously. All right, we are moments away from the tampering period, the legal tampering period beginning, which is awesome. Carlin versus Joe is going to have it for you here on ESPN Radio. So, tomorrow at this time, we will know about tons of free agent signings. So Carlin versus Joe coming up next. It's ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.